To continue with our series on the I wills of the Psalms. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist goes through a lot of promises which the Lord has made to him, and he responds by saying that he will do certain things. In the first message, we hear that the psalmist says that I will trust in God. Secondly, we hear that the psalmist says, I will minister and teach concerning the things of God. And this morning I will look at the I wills of prayer. Right? What the psalmist says concerning the matter of prayer. Now, prayer is, simply put, is speaking to God. Talking to Him and listening to Him. Now, speaking and listening today is a thing, something which find a bit difficult to do, right? Because we're so busy, we're so distracted. Every day and everywhere we look around us, we see man, the things of man, the power of man, right? We look at our TVs, the TV is getting thinner, bigger, flatter, sharper. You can even surf the net on your TV if you connect it properly. Our computers, the old computers used to occupy one whole room just to do simple mathematical calculations. Now, the most powerful computers can fit into the palm of your hand. Look at our handphones. When I was born, there were no handphones. The phones that we use look like something that could be used as a weapon because they were so big. But now the handphones are so small. They are becoming cameras. They are becoming personal digital assistants. They can do fantastic things. We look around us and see the buildings which man is building. The towers are growing taller. The bridges are becoming more powerful. Now you are talking about building bridges up north near the North Pole where there are icebergs. They're going to make bridges which can withstand the forces of icebergs. We look at the buildings. They are making buildings which can theoretically withstand earthquakes to the maximum level. We look at the machines that man has made. The Airbus company is going to launch its plane which can carry nearly 600 people. Can you imagine how big those planes are? Right? We look at ships which can carry more and more cargo and go faster and faster. We look at our cars. They are becoming smarter, sleeker, lighter, more powerful. Everywhere we look, everywhere we see man's creativity. We see his intelligence. We see his power. And every day, man is making new discoveries in medicine, in engineering, in maths. Recently, a man discovered a new number, a number which never existed before. It's a surprise, isn't it? Are there more new numbers in this world? Yes, they say there is a new number which is so long. I think it's a waste of time trying to remember it. But this is a new number they discovered. Right? Man is discovering new things every day. And he seems to be growing more and more powerful on his own, without any help. We are not in touch with any aliens outside our earth. We are becoming smarter on our own. We are creating more things. We are finding new things. This is because God created man in his image. God was made man to rule over all creation. And unfortunately, with all these things that we have around us, with all the creation of man, we have forgotten that there is one who is more powerful than us. There is one who is above us, and that is God Himself. Right? In our busyness of our daily life, of the rat race, rushing around doing what we want, surrounded by the things that we have made, we forget. We have not taken notice of God who has created us. Man is a creator because God is a creator. Man is the ruler of this earth because God is the ruler of all. But we have forgotten this. Because of sin in our lives, we have forgotten God. We are living without God. We do not want to depend on God. We want to depend on ourselves and on the things that we have made. And today, we hear very little and we know very little about the power of God and the power which He has placed in the hands of man, in those who would believe in Him. they have power from God. And we're going to talk about the power of prayer. Right? Now prayer is basically speaking to God, and it is a channel of great power from God. In James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, it tells us this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Means he was a sinner just like us. Elijah was a prophet, but he was just like any one of us here. A sinner who needed salvation from God. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was a sinner just like us. He prayed, and God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer. There was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And when he prayed for rain again, it came. God heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer. Through the prayers of Christians, the sorrowful have been comforted, the hungry have been fed, the sick have been healed, sinners have been saved, God's kingdom has been built up. Churches have grown, sinners have been converted through prayer. Now prayer is a powerful weapon in the hand of every Christian. And all of us, each one of us, must learn to use prayer properly. Use it well for our own good and for the good of God's kingdom. Now let's look at 3 verses from the book of Psalms concerning the matter of prayer. In Psalms chapter 28, verse 1, the psalmist tells us, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me. Lest if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit." Secondly, Psalms 55, verses 16 and 17. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out aloud, and he shall hear me." Psalms 86, verse 7. "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me." Now let's look at these 3 verses. Now first of all, the psalmist tells us, "I will pray only to God." Psalms chapter 28, verse 1. "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock." Now boys and girls, when you are sick, down with fever or diarrhea or something, where does your father or mother take you? Does your father or mother take you to the mechanic who is busy fixing the car? Do you ask the mechanic to check the temperature and so forth? No, isn't it? Does your father or mother take you to the policeman to check you? No. Right? That would be ridiculous. I'm asking a ridiculous question. Of course, your parents will take you to the doctor. The doctor will stick a thermometer into your mouth and listen to your heart and check, see what is wrong with you. And the doctor will give the right medicine and give the right advice on how to take care of you until you are well. So you must see the right person to get the right help, to get the right solution. Right? Now, many years ago, here in Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken, it was in Penang, a 14-year-old boy was caught in possession of a pistol. Right? Now in those days, it still is now, if you are caught having a gun without permit, you can be sentenced to death. Right? And what happened was, this boy was brought to court. The judge said, "You are found guilty, I have no other choice but to sentence you to death." And the judge said, "There is no appeal for such a sentence." And what the family of the boy did was, they appealed to the king, the Yang Di Pertuan Agong of this land. They appealed to the king considered the case, and gave this boy the pardon. He was forgiven of this crime of having a gun, and he was saved from the death sentence. Right? The judge could not help the boy, but the king could, because the king had the power and the authority to pardon the boy. Now we as Christians, when we are faced with problems, we must go to our only help, which is God Himself. Because through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, our way to God is open. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayers will be heard by God. God is our Father, and we can approach Him freely with our prayers. Right? It is a common saying we hear, we should remember as well, that God is only a prayer away. So when we are faced with problems, don't waste time worrying, rushing around, looking for solutions, especially looking for help from men. Yes, we can tell our fellow Christians to pray for us, but our help, our hope is on God and God alone. Men cannot really help us. We can tell our fellow men our problems, but they can never really understand what is happening within us, how we feel. A husband may share his problems with his wife, maybe problems at work, but the wife may not be able to fully understand what the husband is experiencing in the work. Similarly, the wife may face pressures at home and share this with the husband, but the husband may not understand because he's not there all the time. There's only one person who can help us, who can really understand this. It is God Himself. Man can never really understand our problems. Man can give us wrong advice when he see our when he hear our problems. And worse, some people may take advantage of our problems. No? There are people who are so bad. So we must turn to God and God alone to handle our problems. Only God who created us knows us, knows what goes on inside us. He is our Heavenly Father, and He knows how to comfort us. He knows how much we can bear. He knows our breaking point. Right? Those of us who are fathers who have more than one child, you know, one of the boys or maybe even the girls, you can give that child 10 strokes of the rotan and the child will not cry. No, maybe his buttocks is a bit thicker than the others. Whereas this child, you just look at him or her with a fierce look and the poor child breaks down into tears. You don't have to raise your hand. No? So we know our children. We know what they can take, how far they can handle certain things. Similarly, God knows us. He knows us, and therefore we can turn to Him in our times of trouble. The psalmist calls God my rock. You see here in the first part of this Psalms 28 verse 1, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. The rock is a picture of strength and unchanging nature. Now if I were drowning in a pond, and if I see a little boy at the side, I will not ask the boy to jump in to save me. Right? I would like somebody to save me, but I wouldn't want a boy to jump in because the boy is weaker than I am. And if he tried to save me, most likely I would drag him down and both of us would drown. No? I would want somebody who is stronger than I am to come and save me when I'm drowning. And in this world, like it or not, there is no one stronger than God Himself. He is the creator of all creation. And so it is only right for Christians to pray to God. Man can control certain things up to a certain level. Beyond that, he is helpless. Right. We can bow down to images that we have made. We can pray to pictures. They are useless. We cannot hope in machines. Even the most powerful machine we create on this earth can break down. Spaceships can explode. Right. Anything we create is faulty. We cannot depend upon it. Our wealth will disappear. Our friends in position may not be there for long. So we cannot depend on men because they are not strong in the real sense. Only God is. Romans chapter 9 verse 33 says here, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. This verse refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is equally true of our God. He is our rock. It honors our God when we pray to Him. We are obeying the second commandment. When we pray to God, we are bowing down and worshipping Him. We are not worshipping an idol or a picture or a carved image. We obey God in the second commandment when we pray to Him. We honor Him We glorify His name when we approach Him and Him alone with our problems. And He has promised that He will not disappoint anyone who approaches Him in prayer. Whatever trouble we lay at His feet, He will handle. There's nothing beyond His control, because He is the Creator of all things. He is our rock. And He is a rock in His unchangeable nature. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore we can depend upon Him. We cannot depend upon earthly people who make decisions based on their moods. A child may ask for the same thing yesterday and today, and he may get two different answers from the father. For example, I'm busy watching my favorite program on TV. It's raining like cats and dogs outside. My child comes to me and says, I want to buy ice cream. The ice cream man is outside. For the sake of peace, I want to watch my program. I say, yes, go. Now here's the money. No? And the poor child runs out in the rain to buy his ice cream. I make a decision. I say yes to his request for my own sake. Because I'm in the mood to watch the TV. I forget about the rain. I forget about the welfare of my child. No? He runs out to buy his ice cream. He gets his request. But it is not for his own good. Our God is not like that. Our God answers our prayers not depending on His mood. We can depend on Him to hear our prayers. We can depend on Him to answer our prayers in a way which is the best for us. So we can go to Him and lay our requests before Him and be confident of a good, perfect answer to our request. And we must depend on Him and Him alone. What did the psalmist say? He says here, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. The pit in the Old Testament refers to the grave, where a body is buried. It refers to the place where the souls of the dead go to. It is a place without hope. It is a place you go to after you die, in the understanding of the Old Testament believers. So the psalmist here is saying, if you do not answer me, my God, I have no hope at all. The psalmist is saying to God, and he's telling us also, when we pray to God, we rely on Him alone. No other person. Yes, we depend on people on this earth. For example, if we are sick, we go and see the doctor. We pray to God that the doctor will be given wisdom by God to give us the right medicine, to give us the right diagnosis of our illness. But the ultimate healing of my sickness is dependent upon God, not the wisdom of the doctor, not the power of his machines or his medication. It is upon God working through the doctor to heal me. So we as Christians should have no other hope except God. Right? If we think that we can pray to God and then depend on this, that the help of this man and the help of that man, no, and use God as a backup, then we are sadly mistaken. We must depend on God and God alone. We must have in our mind here that if God does not hear my prayer, if God does not answer my prayer, then I am lost. I have no other hope. So the Christian must pray to God and God alone and depend on Him only. And secondly, the psalmist says, I will pray to God continually. In Psalm chapter 55, verse 16 and 17, he says here, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry out aloud, and He shall hear me. Praying continually to God means speaking constantly to Him. It doesn't mean chanting, saying the same words again and again. Do not be mistaken. Our God is not deaf. Our God is not illiterate. Our God does not need to be reminded with the same words and again and again. For example, at the funeral, the people who prayed, they were chanting the same words again and again and again and again. It's as if the person they are praying to is hard of hearing. You must repeat the thing again and again and again. No, you're not saying that. Right? And we are not talking about having prayer beads to hold. Our friends who are Catholics, they'll have the rosary beads and they'll pray. Every bead has one prayer. No, when they finish those beads, they go again. No, we're not talking about that. When they say, I will pray to God continually, it means I will think about the things of God as well as speak to Him about those things. Now this is a story of a group of pastors. They came together to discuss this verse, pray without ceasing. It's an encouragement from one of the episodes. So they met for 1 month discussing about the pros and cons about this and how to apply this. And finally they were ready to write a booklet on this matter. And while they were discussing this for 1 month, there was a maid who was going around serving them, cleaning up and all that. And she made a comment, you take 1 whole month to understand this verse. She said, it is so easy to understand the meaning of to pray without ceasing. And so the pastors asked her to explain how she understood this verse, to pray without ceasing. And she said, in the morning when I wake up, when I open my eyes, I pray to God to open my eyes of understanding so that I will understand the Bible. And she says, when I wear my clothes, I will pray to God to clothe me with the righteousness of Christ. And then she says, when I wash myself, I pray to God that God will regenerate me, regenerate my heart. And she goes on to say, when I begin to work, I pray to God for strength for the day. And then when I'm sweeping the house, I will pray to God to cleanse me from all sins in my life. So the maid is saying here, even in a busy schedule, the whole day she is busy, she has time to pray. She has reasons to pray, even in her work. Sweeping, washing, these are the things she does every day, gives her reasons to reflect upon the things of God. To pray to God doesn't mean we need a special time, we need a special place, and so forth. We can pray even while we are still busy. Even when we are faced with sudden emergencies. Look at Nehemiah. You remember the story of Nehemiah? He was the king's cupbearer. It means that when the king was served a cup of wine, he would taste it first to see that there was no poison in it. Once he didn't die, he would give the cup to the king. So what happened to Nehemiah was when he heard about the sad story of Jerusalem. The walls were broken down and the people had trouble building up again. So he was sad. The king noticed his sad face. The king asked him this question in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? Nehemiah did not expect this answer from the king. Here was an opportunity for him. And what did he do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Straight away he shot a prayer to God. We do not know what he asked for, but most likely he asked for wisdom to speak to the king, with regards to helping the people in Jerusalem. And God answered him. He went back and in 52 days he helped rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah had time and opportunity to pray to God even while he was facing this earthly king. And we Christians actually have no excuse for not praying. We cannot say that we have no time, no opportunity. We cannot even say that we have nothing to pray about. If we have such excuses, beware. Let us examine ourselves. The truth may be that we are not interested in praying. The truth may be that we are not interested to speak to our God. Right? So there's no excuse. We must pray to God continually and consistently. Because if we do not, we will lose the blessings which God has prepared for us. Now it is our privilege to come to God in prayer. Anytime, anywhere, without ceremony, without the help of a third party. We do not need our pastor or somebody to pray on our behalf. We can approach God on our own. Now, who of us here has had the privilege of meeting one of our cabinet ministers? Who of us here has a privilege of meeting the king himself, the Yang Dipertuan Agong? Not many, eh? None maybe. And it's not easy, right? You try meeting the CEO, the chief executive officer of a large company. It's even just as difficult maybe. You make an appointment 1 month in advance or something like that. Or they may just turn you away and say that this man is too busy to meet with you. But these are human beings. No? The king, the minister, they are human beings like us. They need to eat. They need to sleep. They need to do all kinds of things, same things that we do. And yet, they are too busy to meet with us. But who? God is available to each and every one of His child. He is always ready to meet with us. He doesn't require us to wait for a special time. He doesn't require us to dress up in a special way. He doesn't want us to hold something in our hands before we pray to Him. He doesn't want us to wait for Him to be free. He's always there, ready to hear us. He's always our Father who is willing to listen to our prayers. And we can pray to Him about everything and anything. Fathers with young children, you understand this, isn't it? The moment the child, the young child runs to you with a sore thumb, you will drop everything and turn your whole attention to the boy or the girl. Maybe you have to comfort, kiss the thumb before the child is happy and runs away. The child may come to you with your first drawing. It's a horrible mess, but you still admire it. And you speak kind words to the child and encourage the child to go on in its creativity. God is our Father. He will not turn away His children. He is always there to receive us in our prayers. So we can go to Him continually. And God will consider all our requests, small or big. He will not turn away our prayers. So when we lose something, do we ask God to help us? When we cannot sleep, do we ask God for peace of mind to get a good night's rest for the following day? When we don't feel like coming to church, do we ask God to give us the spirit, the right spirit, to come to His service? If you don't know how to pray, do you ask God to help you to pray? These small little things we must learn to commit to God. These little things, when we commit these things to God and we see His answer to us, then we can learn to trust bigger things upon Him. Psalms 34, verse 8. It's a welcome to a message to us, it says here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. The Lord is telling us, taste me and see. Test me and see. Come to me with your prayers and see how I will answer them. And see, when you trust me, you will not be disappointed. As we go to our God regularly for our needs and actually experience His answer to our little prayers, our faith in Him will grow. When we learn to let God handle our small problems, small daily problems, it will be much easier for us to go to Him when we are faced with bigger problems. Remember the story of Daniel? Under King Darius, he was made one of the three governors in the Persian Empire. Below him were many men who had to answer to him. He was a good governor, a just governor. But these people under him hated Daniel because he was not corrupt. And so they came together and they made a plan. They tricked this King Darius to make a law. The law was, in 30 days, everyone must pray to the king. If they pray to somebody else, they would be sentenced to death. And so this silly king passed this law and signed it. Once he signed it, he could not change it at all. And Daniel heard about this law. What did Daniel do? What was his first reaction? In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, this is what Daniel did. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, means the law was official, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. He did not panic. He did not run around, begging the king to change his law. He did not ask his friends to help him. What did Daniel do? He went home and he prayed to God. And the last verse of this, as was his custom since early days. Daniel had a habit of praying to God. He prayed to God when life was easy. He prayed to God when life was difficult. He constantly, continually prayed to God. And now when he was faced with this problem, when he was faced with death in the lion's den, he continued praying to God. It was easy for him because it was natural, it was a habit for him. He has experienced God's blessings when he prayed to God about small things. What is a big thing? It is in God's hands. He will continue to commit it to God. A strong Christian is one who is constantly in touch with God. You know, boys and girls, when you play your computer games or something like that, when you watch TV, what keeps the TV on? What keeps the computer alive for you to play your game? The plug must be plugged into the power point, isn't it? If you pull it out, the TV will die. The computer will go blank. You're gone. The TV is over. The game is over. The TV show is on. Gone. You must keep it plugged on. Similarly, for a Christian to be effective for God, to do things for God, he must be plugged in, if I can use that term. He must be in constant touch with God. He must be in continual prayer to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, to put on the breastplate of truth, truth on our waist, the breastplate of righteousness, our boots of the gospel, put on the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. And finally, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we have armed ourselves with all the weapons of God, we must put on prayer. Prayer is the one that makes us effective in our fight against temptation, against the devil. And the devil will always try to break our habit of prayer. He will try and stop us from praying at every opportunity. He will make it rain on the day we're supposed to come for prayer. He will make us busy. He will do this and that to stop us from praying. He will tell us that we are too simple. We have done this wrong. God will never forgive us. He will never hear our prayers. He will tell us, this matter is too small. Don't come to God in prayer. Settle it yourself like a man. Solve your own problems. Don't depend on God. Leave only the big things to Him. He will tell us all these things. He will try to make God a stranger to us. You know that saying? Out of sight, out of mind. Right? When you don't see somebody for too long, when you don't talk to somebody for too long, you forget that person. You don't know what to tell that person. Say to that person when you meet up with him. Similarly, when we do not pray to God for too long, we begin to trust in ourselves. We do not pray to God, we just think things through in our mind, and we try to settle things on our own. And the Christian who does not pray to God becomes weak, becomes ineffective. So if you want to live for God, if you want to do things for God, normal things, not necessarily great things, if you want to serve God in the church, we must pray to Him and be empowered to Him. The psalmist says, evening, morning, and at noon, the whole day long he will seek God. The whole day long he will pray to God. And so we must. We must be in continual prayer to our God. We can give thanks to Him. Prayer need not necessarily mean just asking for things from God. We can give thanks to God. When we are driving, the motorcycle misses us. One city motorcyclist cuts into our lane, we nearly knock into him. There is a reason to pray to God. We thank God for saving us from this problem. All small things we can learn to pray to Him. Just like the maid. She wakes up in the morning, she has a prayer for God. She dresses, she has a prayer for God. She cleans things, she has a prayer for God. We can develop these things, and we should develop these things. We must be in continual prayer to our God. Right. And thirdly, the psalmist says, I will expect God to answer my prayers. Psalm 86 verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Now today, in this world of modern communication, things happen very fast. You can SMS somebody, you can call him, you can email. No more snail mail now. All this instant communication. Right? And it's quite irritating, quite disappointing when somebody doesn't reply your email or your SMS or your phone call, isn't it? We get very uptight. Some of us have a very bad habit of reading the email and then forgetting to reply. I'm one of them. Read, turn off. And then somebody gets very irritated and scolds me. Right? So we, in this world of instant things, instant replies, some people get very uptight. Especially when certain things are very urgent. Right? Okay, we're having a dinner tonight. Can you come? The person doesn't reply. We do not know whether to prepare for that person or not. We SMS the person, he doesn't reply. We call him, no answer. So it's very uptight. It causes us stress. And very often also, in matters, in important matters, when we get answers to our questions, to our requests, those answers can be very disappointing. We go and see a doctor about a serious case. The doctor can only say, I hope this medication will work. I believe this operation will succeed. That's the best thing they can do. It's the best thing they can say. Right? When we go for an operation, we must sign a form releasing the doctor of any responsibility if you kick the bucket on the operating table. Because they do not know what will happen. Maybe the anesthetic they give you, you may be allergic to it and you die on the operating table. Certain things can happen. The doctors are not in control of all these things. We go to the police station to make a report. Our house has been broken into. Or somebody has been killed. What does the policeman say? We will do our utmost. We will do our best to catch the criminal or the murderer. They cannot promise you. They cannot give you the answer that you want. Man is limited. He can only do his best. He has no control over the outcome. But the Christian who prays to the Almighty God, his Father, will never be disappointed. He will call upon God, and God has promised to answer him. Today, we can call the government departments and they promise to answer us, but there's no answer. We must follow up again and again. God is not like that. He promises to answer us. And there's so many verses in the Bible assuring us of this fact, that God will answer us. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, he says here, ask and it will be given to you. Mark chapter 11 verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. John 15 verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. God has promised to answer our prayers. And we can trust God, not just His promises, because God's character, how we trust a person is we look at a person's character, isn't it? Right? A person who promises to come on time, but we know in the previous occasion, he always comes late. Say, you promise to come on time, okay lah, we wait and see. Huh? We know his character of coming late. But God's character shows to us that we can trust his word. God is a true God. He is a truthful God. His word reveals everything to us. If you read the Bible, everything is found here. The Bible tells us why we are unhappy. The Bible tells us why this world is what it is now. The Bible tells us, it gives us the answer of how to go back to Him. The truth is found here. There are no lies here. The lies are only found in the hearts of men who misinterpret the Bible. Our God is a loving God. He is a God of love. This is one of His chief characters. He showed His love by giving His only Son for us, to save us from our sins. If He loved us enough to sacrifice His Son, will He not continue to love us when we are His children? God is love. And God is the omnipotent God. Omnipotent means all-powerful. He is in control of all things. We are not, but God is. He is in control of all things. He created all things. Everything in His hands. And because of that, He will make all things work together for good to those who love Him. We as parents, we who are responsible parents, we try and manage the environment, the conditions of our children. We try to send them to good schools. We try and create the conducive environment at home for them to live. We buy good food for them to eat. We check their entertainment. We keep an eye on their friends. We do all these things for their good. We want them to grow up healthily, physically and spiritually and emotionally. We want them to become good, useful adults. We want them to be saved by God. That's why we take the trouble to send them to Sunday school. We take the trouble to pray for them. We take the trouble to teach them the Bible. We control or handle the environment for them. God is our Father. He will work all things for us. He will control all things for our good. So we can pray to Him because of these things. We can expect an answer from Him. Now, when we expect an answer from God, we must be precise in our prayers. Now, you do not call your friend up and say, "Hello, I need your help tomorrow. Please come to my house." That's it. That's all you tell him. Huh? Your poor friend, if he wants to help you, really want to help you, he will be in a blur. He doesn't know what time to come to your house. He doesn't know what help you need. He doesn't know how long you need him. Right? For example, if you need him to paint the house, you'll ask him to come in his dirty clothes, not well dressed. Right? You ask him to come with his brushes. Huh? You come early because painting the house can take a whole day. Now if you need help from your friends, you tell them. You give them the precise things that they need to do to help you. What about God? Now we can always have this excuse that God knows everything. So what for we tell him? Right? The Bible tells us that He knows what we need even before we pray. But God wants us to find out ourselves as well. God wants us to find out what we really need and to seek Him for it. It is no use just asking, "God bless me." No, God bless me. God can bless us in many ways. How do you want God to bless you? If you are praying for someone's salvation, you should name that person before God. If you are going for a journey and you need protection from God, request God for His angels to watch over you. If you need money for something urgent, name the amount to God. If you are faced with any problem, be specific. Remember the story of King Hezekiah? We've heard it before. It's always good to hear it again. In 2 Kings chapter 19, King Hezekiah was faced with the Assyrian army. They surrounded him in Jerusalem. The general of the Assyrian army wrote him a nasty letter. In the letter, he laughed at Hezekiah. He said, "You worship God, Jehovah, Don't waste your time. Look at your neighbors. They worship other gods. Has their God helped them? No. All of them have been conquered by the might of the Assyrian army. And you, a worshipper of Jehovah, will suffer the same fate. Hezekiah got this letter. He read it. What did he do? In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, he says here, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He did not take the letter, crush it or burn it and throw it away. He took the letter, this horrible letter, he took it before God, he placed it before the altar of God, and he prayed. You can imagine Hezekiah kneeling there, pointing to the letter, telling God, God, do you see this? This terrible letter. It insults you, it insults your glory, it insults your people. Do something about it. Let us be specific about the problem that we face. It may be somebody nasty in our office, it may be a problem in our work, it may be a bully in school, it may be your homework which you do not know how to do. It may be a lot of things. Tell God about them. Specify them before God. There's no harm in going into details. The more we're specific about prayers, the better. Because then, we can look out for an answer to those prayers. When we expect God to answer our prayers, we must be ready for those prayers to be answered. When you're playing cricket or baseball, you're out in the field, you're a catcher, your opponent hits the ball, what do? Your eye is on the ball. Because if you catch the ball, the whole team is out. So you must keep an eye on the ball to be ready to receive it. When we ask God for certain things, are we ready to receive an answer for them? Give an example. If we need money urgently, we've written to somebody and the person has promised to send us a check. The person says, I will send this amount in a check. I will mail it to you now. You are in urgent need of money. Without it, you'll be kicked out from the school. Without it, you'll be kicked out from your room which you are renting. So every day you're waiting for the postman. Every day you're waiting. If the postman doesn't come, no letter, you get worried. You call the person, have you sent the money? Right? The moment the mailman comes with the letter, you are so happy. You take the letter, you take the check, you go straight to the bank, and you cash in. Similarly, are we so urgent for God to answer our prayers? Are we watching, waiting, looking out? Look at Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Habakkuk prayed to God, and this is his. He says he will be ready. He will stand on the highest part of the city and watch out and wait for God to answer him. If we have been praying for the salvation of our children, have we been observing them to see if there's any spiritual awakening? And if not, are we continuing to pray for them? Do, in accordance to our prayers to God for their salvation, do we use every opportunity to teach them about Christ and urge them to faith in Christ? Are we on the lookout for God's answer? When we ask for an opportunity to share with our neighbors or our friends, are we ready when they suddenly ask us a question about God? Or are we dumbfounded? We are not ready and the opportunity is lost. Are we ready for God to answer our prayers? And when he does answer our prayers, as he surely will, are we ready to give thanks to him? Our lips ready to praise and to bless him, or we just take things for granted? This thing has happened to me according to my wishes. You walk away. You forget God. You do not give him thanks. You do not give him the honor. And God will answer all our prayers, each and every one of our prayers, in accordance to his will. Do not make the mistake of believing people who say you visualize what you want. Some people tell you, so-called Christian, visualize your prayer in your mind. If you want a house, visualize the house. And you pray to God. Sure get. God is not our servant. We can ask a million things from God. But not all of it may be good for us. Remember the third petition of the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What's the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can ask for a million things which we believe would be for our good. We can ask for a million things which we believe would be to the glory of God. But God knows better than us. Remember one prayer which God did not answer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before our Lord Jesus Christ was to be arrested and crucified on the cross, he made this prayer in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is our Lord's prayer. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Our Lord Jesus was experiencing deep sadness. He was experiencing deep pain and loneliness. He knew that very soon he was going to be arrested. Very soon he was going to be charged with false crimes. Very soon he will be insulted, tortured. Very soon he will die a very shameful death. You know, they hung him, they nailed him naked on the cross for things which he did not do. But worst of all, he was going to experience the anger of God for our sins. He did nothing to deserve any of this. He was the Son of God, perfect, sinless, holy. And he said this prayer, and it was not wrong for him to ask. He says, let this cup pass from me. It was not a wrong request. It was a right request. But God the Father did not answer this prayer. And our Lord Jesus did not escape death on the cross. It was not God's will to save his son. It was God's will to sacrifice his son for us. So we can pray to God about anything and everything, but we must leave the answer to him. If God answers us no, we cannot shake our fists and tell God you are unfair. We must pray to God humbly and leave the answer in his hands. We must expect an answer from him. It can be yes, it can be no. And it can be quietness. Maybe he expects us to wait. Those of us who have prayed for the salvation of our parents so many years, still nothing. That doesn't mean that God did not hear. But that doesn't mean that we give up in praying for their salvation. We continue. For as long as there's breath in their bodies, we pray for our parents. For as long as we are in this church, we pray for this church to grow, God's name be glorified. We pray and we pray without ceasing. So in conclusion, let us be reminded of this. For we Christians, God is our Father. He's always ready to receive us. Let us go only to him in prayer when we are in trouble. We must seek him only. We must seek him continually. And we must expect an answer and be ready for the answer from him. When we pray continually to God, when we're always in a spirit of prayer with our God, we experience a great blessing. He may answer us no, he may answer us yes to our prayers. But Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 gives us this blessing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Every Christian who prays to God continually and expects an answer from God he will experience this peace. And nothing in this world, no demon, Satan himself can take away. He will experience this God-given peace in his heart, knowing that God has heard him and that God will answer him sooner or later. And for those of us who are non-Christians, I ask you this question. When you are in trouble, is there someone to hear you? Is there someone to help you? Yes, you may have many friends. Yes, you may have many people who are in power, who may have money, who might be able to help you. So you think. But true help can only come from God, the Creator and the source of all things. He is the only one who can help us. He is the only one who will help us if we go to him. Let us close by singing hymn 207.